Hello, my dear friends. It's very, very good to see you. Of course, a lot of our friends are on a plane right now because they were here in Colorado this weekend for the winter retreat, and many of them had a 4 o'clock flight today, so they are definitely on a plane now, which of course is why the room is a little light-hearted. But you know what? An idea just occurred to me. Just as Lynn was turning the mic over to me, and that idea was that I share with you a little of what Brent Haskell shared this weekend. But as Lori talked about, the mind is not quite so good, and my notes are in the car because when I got home I was so exhausted I didn't carry anything in. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put on a song, which I usually do anyway, but instead of sitting here quietly and getting centered like I usually do while I'm playing the song, I'm going to dash out to the car and see if I can find my notebook. I've got piles and piles of stuff out there, you know, books and T-shirts and coffee and creamer, but I'm going to see if I can find my notebook with my notes and get back before the song finishes playing. So probably in order to give myself a fair chance, I'm going to pick a song that's maybe, more than just a couple of minutes. And I feel like a Kirtana song, so let me... Okay, here is a Kirtana song that sounds really good. Of course, we all know all of these songs, but this one is Already Home, Already Free. It gives me 5 minutes and 10 seconds to go out and get my notebook. So let's see if I can do that. Y'all enjoy the song.
Nothing to gain, nothing to know, nothing to lose, nothing to do but let go. Let's rest here where the future and the past disappear. Here in the sanctity of now. Nothing to prove, nothing to own, no one to be. Nowhere to move, already home, already free. Let's just stay in the cave of the heart today. Change, nothing to fight, only what is. What if what is just right? Why not trust this mystery living us, and rest in the refuge of the self? Nothing to judge, no one to blame or fear.
Back in time to get a little centered with the music. How's that? And Lynn, you actually could do me a favor later. Tonight we have 3 hours in a row from my house. I am, of course, teaching now the Seven Steps to Awakening. Then Jacqueline is here and she will lead the movie group from my house. And then we have an ordination ceremony after that. So rather than leave my recording running for 3 hours, I thought that I would stop it, save it, and start a new recording with each hour. And so I thought I might end like 5 minutes before the hour. And maybe you could play a song then while I save this recording and get the next one ready. And then at the end of movie group, I'll ask Jacqueline to end 5 minutes before the hour. And then I can save the recording and get ready for ordination. So if during those two little five-minute breaks, if you can play music, that would be good. Because with a three-hour recording, I'm concerned that I might lose it, lose everything. The ordination, EST, is 9 p.m. 9 p.m. So we have seven steps for 1 hour, followed by movie group for 1 hour, and then the ordination. So, yeah. All right. So I said that I was going to share a little bit about what Brent Haskell shared this weekend. And by the way, at the winter retreat, Brent Haskell took the lead. What I did is I sat and listened to Brent. And then when he was done, I would get up and I would take what he said and turn it into an experiential exercise. And that's how the entire weekend went. So Brent taught Friday night, and then I led an experiential exercise. Saturday morning, I led an exercise. Saturday afternoon, he and I discussed the exercise, but then he led it. And then, of course, this morning I ended with a guided meditation. So I didn't do any teaching this weekend, which was really a lot of fun to just turn his words into experience. I really enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun. Also, his entire weekend was based on a new channeling from Yeshua, and he just sent me that channeling. And what I will be doing later this week, probably on Tuesday, is posting that on the Awakening Together blog, which means it will probably come out maybe Wednesday morning on the updates. So everybody will have that as well. But what I thought I would do is just very briefly share some of what he shared. Of course, it's not going to be the same as, 3 days of retreat. But I think I can hit some highlights. And the truth is, what he shared fits with the quote that I would be looking at tonight in the Seven Steps to Awakening, which is quote 709. You are the self, not the mind. You are the self, not the mind. That's a Yoga Vasistha quote. And our theme this weekend at the winter retreat was surrender. But Brent taught surrender differently than most people teach surrender, or at least differently than I've heard someone teach surrender before. First, let me share with you his definition of surrender. You'll hear me paging through my notes a little bit. Okay, here's his definition of surrender. I'll type it in the room too. I'll say it, then type it, and then read it again. Transition from what is not real to what is. That's the definition of surrender that Brent Haskell shared. Surrender is a transition from what is not real to what is. And interestingly, he started by telling us, in order to make that transition from what is not real to what is, we must begin by knowing we've already arrived. And that's why I thought the Kirtana song would be a really, really nice fit, the song that we just played, Already Home, Already Free, right? The way to surrender, the way to transition from what is not real to what is, you must begin by knowing you've already arrived, already home, already free. So everything has fit together already. In this channeling from Yeshua, which I will be sharing later this week, Yeshua told Brent Haskell that to surrender, we first need to surrender from three things, and then we surrender to the truth. And the three things that we surrender from are the ego, duality, and time. And I'm going to type some of this in because I think visuals are really sweet. So I'll type this in. So again, first we surrender from the ego, which he defined as false beliefs. We surrender from duality, which he defined as the belief that there is anything other than love. That's what duality is. And we also surrender from time, which of course is the belief that there is anything other than now. We surrender from the ego, false beliefs. We surrender from duality, the belief that there is anything other than love. And we surrender from time, the belief that there is anything other than now. Yeah, anything other than the eternal. Perfect. But what Brent did this weekend, which is really interesting, and some of what he did, I apologize to you, but there is no way that I can repeat what he did, because it turns out that Brent Haskell, in addition to being a type of doctor, if I got the right word, in addition to being in addition to that, did you know that he has a doctorate's degree in physics? And so he used a lot of physics in his teaching, a lot of very clear physics that even I could understand, but I cannot repeat. So part of his teaching, there's just no way I'm going to be able to pass it on. And he had all kinds of wonderful, wonderful statistics, which again, if I tried to share these statistics with you, I would share the wrong ones and I would mess them up. But take this as an example. All right, but I could be wrong. Can you all take this statistic with a grain of salt? It was something like it only requires 11% of the population to believe something new, we'll say, in order for the entire planet to shift. So something very, very similar to that. I might even be quoting the statistic correctly, but I might not be. But it was something like it only takes 11%. Lynn says, yes, she thinks I have the statistic correct. It only takes 11%. Dove is saying 1/9. So as 11% of us believe something new, which since we're talking about surrendering from the ego or surrendering from false beliefs, the words believe something new here don't mean take on a new, 11% is 1/9. Thank you, Dove. Believe something new here doesn't mean take on a new false belief. It's just a way of wording that we're shedding the false beliefs, and instead of believing the false beliefs, we're now believing the truth. But of course, this belief has to be real. You know, for example, many of us on the spiritual path go around saying things like the world is an illusion. But also, most of the people that say that, the belief is not real. It is thought only. It's an idea only. It's a concept only. And therefore, our quote belief, which isn't the true belief, the deeper belief, doesn't count as part of that 11%. Because our deeper, truer belief is still really that the world is real. Right? So when we say that it only takes 11% of the population to change the entire planet, that has to be a very genuine, in every cell of your body type of belief. So one thing that Brent did was he brought something that I had heard of before, but I had just never seen it used in this way. He brought something to us to help us see what we really believe, to help us get into self-honesty. And I'm sure many of you have done this before in one way or another, although you might not have done it in the way Brent introduced it, where you hold out your arm and do the testing, right? Where I remember what Laurent and I used to do at the store. Laurent would want to know if he should buy this kind of coffee or this kind of coffee, or whether this kind of peanut butter or that kind of peanut butter, or should he buy peanut butter at all. And what he would do is he would hold the peanut butter and we would press on his arm, and if his hand went right down, then that meant that peanut butter wasn't good for him. And of course, if his arm was very strong and stayed out, that meant the peanut butter was good for him. This is the way that we played with it. Well, what Brent did this weekend is he had us do that with, applied kinesiology. Yeah, thank you very much, Dev. Applied kinesiology. So he had us do this weekend with what we think we believe, what we think is true, what we think we want. In order to get to a new level of self-honesty and self-awareness. So, for example, most people say they want to have a happy and healthy life. And yet, of course, hold on one second. Jamie is crying. Let me open the door. There you go, my love. Okay? Okay, so most people would say, I want a happy and healthy life, right? an example, a way to find out if that is true is to, hold out your arm and have a friend nearby and then say both to yourself, but also, it's nice to say it out loud to the friend as well, but to say, I deserve to have a happy and healthy life. Or it might even be more helpful to practice them one at a time. Just in case it's not true, you'll know whether both are not true. So you might hold out your arm and say, I deserve to have a happy life. And then have the friend push on the arm. And see if you really believe that, if you really believe that you deserve to have a happy life. Most people's arm goes right down. They don't believe they deserve it. Same thing with healthy. If you hold out your arm and you say, I deserve to have a healthy life, and the friend pushes on the arm, most people's arm is very, very weak, and it goes right down because they don't believe it. And so it was really, the entire weekend was fairly enlightening because we were testing all kinds of ideas, and every time we did an exercise, and the exercises, we only took 20 minutes each time we did an exercise break. And in every 20-minute exercise, people would come back having learned something about themselves. In other words, the mind lies to us all of the time, and we believe it. Remember, I said this fits right in with quote 709 from the Seven Steps to Awakening. You are the self, not the mind. But you see, we do think with the mind. And the way that we know that we think with the mind is the mind chatters at a very, very surface level. The mind chatters, oh, I deserve to be happy. I deserve to be healthy. The world is not real. Blah, 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 blah. And we think because the mind is chattering all this stuff and we're listening to all of this stuff, we think it's what we believe. But then if we do this test, this kinesiology test, we find at the subconscious level that it's not true. And this is very enlightening because then you become aware, I'll say of the work that needs to be done for now. I'll just say of the work that needs to be done. So, for example, one of the things that we were asked to do is to I made up the exercises, so I'll say one of the things that they were asked to do was first to ask themselves, what do they really want? Or I asked them to maybe even try this, what is my devotion? You know, ask at a very deep level. I asked them to go into a contemplative state of mind, not just off the top of the head, but to go into a contemplative state of mind and ask, what do they really want? And then test that with a friend and see if it was true. And if it wasn't true, to go back and ask again at a very deep level in a contemplative state of mind, what do I really want? And what people were able to get to is what they really wanted, the truth of what they wanted. But it might not have been, in many cases, what they thought they wanted, right? So they were able to test with their arm. And some of you may be aware that I did this in a different way several years ago. I think it was in June of 2006. There's an audio out there on the classics called The Secret Holy Spirit Style, right? The Secret Holy Spirit Style. And What I was asked to do then by Holy Spirit was to write down what I wanted. And I don't remember now everything that I wrote down, but I wrote down things like I wanted a better body, right? I wanted, just like many other women, you know, never been happy with the body. The body was always a symbol of my unworthiness. So one of the things I wrote down was I wanted that better body. I wanted financial security. I had a lot of financial fears back then, so I wanted financial security. This was before Jasmine and I had a harmonious relationship. This was back when I was still listening to a lot of ego, so there was, you know, still conflict in the household. And so I wrote down, that I wanted to live a harmonious life with Jasmine. And, you know, and I wrote all of these things down. And then after I wrote them down, and I don't remember exactly how this works, so you might hear it a little different on the audio. The audio, by the way, would be what to believe, because the audio was right after it happened, and now my memory is 10 years later, and my memory is not as good. But somehow I got to the point where Holy Spirit shared with me what I really want. In other words, the things that I wrote down, they weren't what I really wanted. And so Holy Spirit shared with me what I really wanted. And in fact, I keep that list of what Holy Spirit said I really wanted right here next to my desk, so let me just grab it. Holy Spirit said there were five things that I wanted, and this was in June of 2006. And these things were basically dictated to me, so I wrote them down. But I was also guided to contemplate them every day, meditate on them every day. So I call them the five meditations. I was guided to sit down with them every day and meditate on them. Now remember, I told you that surrender is transitioning from what is not real to what is real. Remember that definition of surrender. And remember, I told you, you must begin by knowing you've already arrived. And this is what Brent Haskell taught this weekend. Well, listen to how the five things that Holy Spirit gave me, notice how they're all surrender, because they're all transitioning from what is not real to what is real. But also notice how they're written in what I'll call already arrived language. They're not written as if there's some future state. And at this point in my life, by the way, these things did not feel currently true for me, right? They would have felt like what we call stretch goals. But notice how the wording that Holy Spirit gave me is an already arrived wording. So let me just share with you. Some of you have heard these before, but let me share with you the five meditations. Number one, I want to listen to guidance in all things. I want only what the Holy Spirit wants. And because that is all that I want, that is all that I hear. That is all that I feel. I pause for a moment with an opening in my mind, and I know in confidence where to go, what to do, what to say, and to whom. There is no doubt because the knowing is clear. The knowing is clear because that is all that I want. And of course, again, in June of 2006, I would not have believed if we had done the arm testing then and then you had said, and I had said, all I want is what Holy Spirit wants, and you had pushed my arm, it would have gone right down. Because you know what? I didn't believe that all I wanted was what Holy Spirit wanted. I believed that I wanted other things that maybe Holy Spirit or God or the universe or whatever didn't want for me, right? I believed in separate wills. But even though I believed in separate wills, when Holy Spirit gave me this, it was stated in already there language, right? I already want only what the Holy Spirit wants, right? Already my knowing is clear, right? This is the type of language it was written in. And remember, I was asked to meditate on these every day. Here's number two. I want joy for everyone. I use my mind only for the extension of joy. I have compassion for the mind that does not know what it is, and I am always willing to remember for it. I ask the Holy Spirit how to give, and I give as I am asked. I am willing to receive that which brings joy to everyone. I live in trust and joy, and I know gratitude because trust and joy lead me in all things. Here's number three. I want to be helpful in all that I do. I remember that the ego mind does not know, so I easily dismiss the thoughts that come from that part of the mind. I am helpful to everyone by listening only to the Holy Spirit. I am helpful to everyone by trusting our oneness to guide me in all that I do. Number four, I want to have faith in my truth and to bring only that into my awareness. My truth seems to be a learning process because I have allowed that which isn't truth to be within my awareness. Now I have become enlightened, and I consistently choose again. I choose only the thoughts of the Holy Spirit because I realize that they represent my truth. Because I choose only them, They are all that I know. Number 5. I want to know my connection to all things and to know all things as myself. Joy is the expression of truth, and expression is the celebration of conscious knowledge. I have let go all belief in anything that is false, and now I see within illusion with eyes of truth. I love all things because I know what it is that I see. I embrace all things because I know that I embrace only love. I am all things because I know. There are no longer any shadows or any doubt. Now there is only light. In joy and gratitude, I cease to speak. I look on perfect love. You see how much different those 5 things are than, I want thinner thighs. Even then, I want financial security, right? Even different than I want a harmonious relationship with my daughter, which are the things that I thought I wanted at the time. So what happened as we did this arm testing this week is that people also discovered that they didn't even want what they thought they wanted. That a lot of that wanting that they thought they wanted, the things that they thought they needed even, were surface level mental chatter. And that actually at a deeper level, they had other goals. They had other true intentions, other things that they wanted. When I did the exercise this weekend and I went down contemplatively and asked, what do I want? This time what I wrote down was I want to be happy. I want to be clear. I want to be love. And so another test that we did with the things that we want is we tested to see if we thought we knew the feel of those things. Because remember, you must begin by knowing you've arrived. So if you don't know the feel of what you, quote, want, it's a lot more difficult. You need another additional transition. Because you can't have that already arrived feeling about it, right? And so like when we did the arm test, since what I wrote was I want to be happy, clear, and love, I would put out my arm and I would say, I know, actually I changed it to joyousness, I know the feeling of joyousness, and then test my arm to see if it stayed strong or if it went down. And in my case, it stayed strong. I know the feel of clarity, right? Stay strong or go down. And again, in my case, it stayed strong. And I know the feel of being love. And again, in my case, it stayed strong. But in the case of some people, when they were trying that, I know the feel of, whatever it was that they had discovered they wanted. Their arms would go down. They didn't know the feel of their true desire. And so then the next level of testing to see if you could get there to help you move again to a truer, deeper form of belief is the word that was being used, was to see if you thought it was possible that you could know the feel. So, for example, if I had said, I know the feel of joyousness and my hand had gone down, then the next test would have been to put my hand out and say, I believe it is possible for me to know joyousness, right? And if my hand went down then, of course, this is really showing me that I really have a lot of work to do. In fact, I need we could call it a lot of surrender. I need a lot of practice to transition from what is not real to what is real, because my false beliefs are so strong, right? If I put out my hand and I say, I believe it is possible for me to know joyousness, and my hand goes down, what that is signifying is that my false beliefs are very, very strong, because joyousness is our nature. And if I don't even think it's possible for me to know joyousness, then what I know is my false beliefs are actually still quite strong, that I am still quite attached to ego, to false beliefs. He also asked us at this point to take a 1 month or a 30-day fast from all negative thought. I have that in my notes. But again, you know, this testing was very interesting for people. It opened their eyes because it is so common to run around in spiritual circles, and we're listening to spiritual chatter in the mind, you know, so it sounds spiritual, it has the right language, like, I don't believe the world is real, you know, I'm the creator of my existence, you know, whatever else spiritual chatter is, but that stuff is not at the belief level. You might even say, I want awakening, I want to know thyself, and maybe that is not actually the current goal. You know, maybe the current goal isn't there. When you say that with the arm test, it goes right down. And you find that something else is the arm test. I'm trying not to be distracted by Michael, but of course I love to try and pay attention to everything he says, so it's tough. So I'm going to pause for a second and see what he's writing here. I'm going to scroll back up here. I don't know how far to go. I'll start right here. By him alone who saved himself can other folk be freed. The help of others is as if the blind would lead. From Ramana Maharshi. And let's see. Almost all of human life usually has no purpose and no meaning. It is possible to change that so that every moment is leading to the eternal purpose and the eternal meaning. Yeah, so and what's this? Regina mentioned being attached to ego beliefs. If she has any such attachment, I will go to Colorado and scold her. Well, of course, I teased you before, Michael, that if that's the case, then I'm going to be attached so that you'll come to Colorado. But in reality, when we did my arm test this weekend, I was pretty solid in self-honesty. I was pretty solid in being aware of my deepest desires. So it was a very confirming weekend. But that wasn't true for everyone. You know, a lot of people found out that they're lying to themselves. Oh yeah, Michael says I'll be visiting him in April, and that is true. Yeah, I'm going out to see him. When I go out for the Las Vegas conference, I'm going to go out and spend a day with Michael then. So everything that I just shared with you, this was actually Friday night. This was Friday night, everything that I just shared. So let me move on to what happened on Saturday morning. Everything that I just shared with you was Brent's way of, again, helping us to surrender from ego or surrender from false beliefs. And again, the key idea behind doing this testing was because first you have to be honest with yourself. And being honest can be a great, great challenge because you can believe the mind and the mind lies all the time, right? And so the testing allows you to be honest with yourself. And by the way, he gave us another test too, which I played with a lot. I had never heard of this test, so I played with it a lot. You could say I tested the test, and it works. And this is a wonderful test for anyone who is afraid to be self-honest in front of another person. So let's say that you want to find out for yourself if you're as spiritually honest as you think you are, but you don't want to be embarrassed in front of another to find out that it's not true. So what you do is you stand, you know, just stand up straight. And you might say, for example, I deserve to be loved. We actually found that most people in the room did not believe that at all. That was a big eye-opener for everyone, right? Most people did not believe that at all. But you might say, I deserve to be loved, right? And you stand straight with your eyes closed. And if you find your body on its own, you don't do this. You're just standing straight. But if you find your body kind of lean forward, then that means that statement is true for you. If you find your body leaning backward, then that means that statement is not true for you. So if you could do that right this second if you want to. You can just stand up right where you are. You can drop your hands down by your side, close your eyes. Get a little bit contemplative or meditative. Attempt to get a little bit deeper than the chatter of the mind. Right? With your eyes closed, just say to yourself, I deserve to be loved. And notice whether the body falls forward or whether the body falls back, right? And again, what you're helping yourself to do is find out, I would say, the difference between what you think you believe, because that's what the mind is chattering all of the time, and what you really believe at the subconscious level. And it is just helpful to self-honesty, right? It's just helpful to self-honesty to see this, because then you know where you're starting. Brent also gave us a definition of faith, which I think is really helpful to look at. Again, this is his language. Not everybody would define faith this way. Where you abide. Again, faith is what you are really believing. Where you abide. Where you live. And so, as I mentioned, most people at the retreat found out that they abide in the belief that they do not deserve love, that they are not lovable, that they are not lovable. They found that this is where they abide, right? This is their current faith. And so the next thing that Brent talked about then, in addition to, which to me in a way these are all the same thing, but that's okay, in addition to surrendering from the ego, in addition to surrendering from false beliefs, we need to surrender from duality. And surrendering from duality means surrendering from the belief that there is, you know, two or more. Right? Surrendering from the belief that there is God in me. Surrendering from the belief that there is you in me. Surrendering from the belief that there is this chair in me. Right? That's surrendering from duality. And the transition that he gave us. I'm being a little slow because I didn't take notes in this section, so I'm going back in my mind. I've been taking pauses to kind of look back at yesterday morning and see what I can recall. The transition that he gave us to help us see that everything is love was to see that what is here in our life. You know, we might define something as not love. For example, let's say I had a husband that is always putting me down, right? Always telling me how dumb I am, always telling me how ugly I am. You know, it's very easy, of course, then for me and even my friends to say that is not love, right? but if we say that is not love, then we are believing in duality. So the transition that he gave us to help us transition away from duality, to surrender away from duality, was he helped us to use this same testing to discover for ourselves that we do want the circumstances that are in our lives, regardless of what they are, regardless of how much the mind may say, I don't want this cancer, I don't want this nagging husband. I don't want this. You know, regardless of how much the mind may say, I don't want this. We use the testing to find, first we discovered that we did. And every single person, I think, discovered they did want everything that was in their life. Is that true, Jacqueline?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, they, you know, when you did the testing with a friend, and you may say, I don't want this cancer, right? But then your arm would go down. And if you would say, I want this cancer, which doesn't sound at all true to the head, but the arm would be strong. And so then the question needed to be, why do I want this? And the way we asked that question was, what do I want to learn from this, right? And we would go within in contemplative way, and we would ask our within, what do I want from this nagging spouse? What do I want from this cancer? What is it that I want to learn from this? What do I want from this? And then when an answer seemed to arise, we would test that answer to see if that was the true answer. And again, we only spent 20 minutes in this exercise. This wasn't, a year's worth of spiritual practice. And people came back from the exercise with an increased realization that they really do want the exact circumstances that are in their life, because there's something they want to learn from it. Every person, I think, came back with what I'm going to call a true spiritual answer. It wasn't like you wouldn't say, I want this cancer because I want attention. That's still the head. The ego might want the cancer because it wants attention. That might be true for the ego. But remember, you're not the ego. And so there's another level of subconscious that I'm going to call closer to truth. And when people ask the other level of subconscious, why do I want this cancer? The answer that might have rose was to learn you're not the body. And if they tested that, I want to learn I'm not the body, they had very, very strong arms. And so what people found was you can look at every circumstance that's in our life with, I'm going to call, a truer set of eyes. That truer set of eyes coming from the heart, which really only wants to know thyself. And you find that even the things that are called into your life, the ego may certainly have its purpose for it as well, like I want attention, right? I want to feel like a victim. But that's not your truest purpose because you're not the ego. And so they were able to find that truer purpose to why they want these circumstances in their life. And this was very eye-opening to people, because people saw what they want to learn. They saw what they really want to realize. What they really want to realize is to know thyself. And they were beginning to see this, and they were seeing that they were, you could call it, working on different lessons, you know, at the same time. You know, everybody was working on different lessons, but everybody seemed to be working on something. In fact, I keep saying this is related to the Seven Steps quote that I'm going to look at tonight, which, you know, I guess I am looking at because I'm finishing in 6 minutes. Again, the Seven Steps quote is, you are the self, not the mind, right? You are the self, not the mind. Well, listen to what I wrote in the journal with quote 709. Let me give you that journal link. I haven't done that yet. Know thyself, be thyself, remain as thyself. What people seem to be finding is they were somewhere in the transition, somewhere in the transition from completely believing the ego to knowing thyself by realizing different truths through current life lessons. Except the interesting thing is, these current life lessons can be missed. In fact, I wonder how many lifetimes one could spend trying to realize that I am not the body. Especially if you aren't aware, if you're distracted from the fact that that's why you wanted this current circumstance of cancer, or that's why you wanted whatever. If that purpose is hidden from you, right, then you might be able to spend many, 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 many lifetimes. It seemed like becoming aware that this is really what I want in a very honest way. This isn't just head games. This isn't me lying to myself. This is really what I want from this. That this could maybe light a fire under you, let's say, right? This could get you very excited and very focused on using whatever current circumstances here for the purpose that you truly, truly desire. But of course, if you're still stuck at the head chatter level and thinking that the head chatter is you, thinking that you are the mind, right? And the mind is saying, I don't want this, I'm such a victim, blah, 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 and you're believing that, you're being distracted from what you really want. So again, this self-honesty is really, really helpful. It could be used as a shortcut if you wanted to. It could be used as a shortcut to become strongly aware that what you really want is awakening. And maybe right now, again, you're working on a particular, I'll call it lesson, to see that I am not affected by things. I want to see God in everyone. I want to know that I am love without conditions, right? Sometimes it came up in different language to people. And I'm sure that there are going to be people who are going to walk away from the weekend and forget some of the realizations that they had. Maybe, as Michael would say, it wasn't quite an insight, because if it was an insight, it would change. It would create a change in the way they be. Right. But I think there might be others who there were insights, and they will realize, oh, my goodness, I'm going to stop fighting this now. I'm going to start looking at this differently. What I really want to learn is I'm not a body. What I really want to learn is I am love. What I really want to learn is, and that's what I'm going to focus on. That's the purpose of my life right now. And it could be very, very, very helpful. We only have 2 minutes left, so I'll just very, very briefly say that the third thing that Brent Haskell said that we must surrender from is time. And the question that he had us ask there is, what am I most afraid of? And again, we used the testing to make sure that what we thought we were most afraid of was truly what we were most afraid of. And a lot of people found out even that they lie to themselves. What they think they are afraid of is not even what they're afraid of. And so a lot of self-honesty came as people tested different fears and found out, wow, I thought I was afraid of that, but I'm not, and learned what they were really afraid of. But then once they learned what they were really afraid of, the question was, could you be afraid of that if you didn't believe in time? If there was no time, if there wasn't a future, if there wasn't a past, if there was only this moment. And of course, once people became in touch with their deepest fear, even if their deepest fear was awakening, which some people definitely, that's what they saw as their deepest fear, awakening, they realized that if there was no time, Only this moment, no time in their mind, right? Only this moment. There couldn't even be the concept of awake and not awake, and therefore there could be no fear of awakening. Like, it could not exist. I would call it a weekend of becoming aware of what people really believed. A weekend of coming aware of what they really believed. You know, they walked in thinking, I believe this and this and this. And then they saw that they were fooled by the mind. And then they discovered what they really believed, and you could say where they really are. And then that's very, very helpful, right, to start with self-honesty. So maybe I will do 709 again next week in a different way. But it felt right for those of you who weren't at the winter retreat to share what Brent Haskell shared. Right now, what I need to do is let go of the mic and turn it over to Lynn so she can play a song for a few minutes. while I save this audio and then start up another audio. And then Jacqueline will be right back with the movie group, all right? So I'm letting go of the mic, Lynn. Thank you.